Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. After a week away, had the blessing of going up to upstate New York with my family, both of my sons and my daughter, and my wife. Went up there to visit my wife's family and spent some quality time with my outlaws up there. So it was a great week, but super excited to be back. Really excited about tonight's program because I'm with my two sons. They're repeat performers. They were on the show about a year ago, and just total inspiration to me and their faith journey as young adult Catholic males. So really excited to have them on the show and spend the next hour with them. And as we begin every show, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Liam and Dylan and myself spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and that when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome back to the show, fellas. Glad to have you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Man, we're going to talk about a number of topics, but the first one we're going to talk about is detachment. I don't know. I feel like this has been a theme in the readings, the daily mass readings and the Sunday readings, you know, but Christ really calling us to detach from the worldly, and it's easy. It's easy to get consumed by it. I mean, I know for me personally on my journey, I have to ask for detachment really daily. 'Cause if I don't, I end up, you know, I'm keeping score and getting caught up with, you know, with money and things and material things and that's not what Christ is calling us to do. I want to just reflect on yesterday's gospel reading because it certainly speaks to detachment and self-centeredness, I would say. So it's from the gospel according to Luke chapter 12 verses 13 to 21. A man in the crowd said to him, "Master, tell my brother to give me a share of our inheritance." He said to him, "My friend, who appointed me your judge or your arbiter of your claims?" Then he said to them, "Watch and be on your guard against avarice of any kind, for life doesn't consist in possessions, even when someone has more than he needs." Then he told them a parable. There was once a rich man who, having had a good harvest from his land, thought to himself, "What am I to do? I have not enough room to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods in them. And I will say to my soul, you have plenty of good things laid for you for many years to come. Take things easy, eat, drink, have a good time." But God said to him, "Fool, this very night the demand will be made of your soul and this hoard of yours. Whose will it be then?" So it is when someone stores up treasure for himself instead of becoming rich in the sight of God. Gospel of the Lord. And even, you know, it's easy to be critical of the man in the gospel reading, but, you know, I think we find us doing that all the time. It's, you know, what's in our bank account? What are we driving? What are we wearing? You know, what trips can we go on? And, you know, and in today's day and age, fellas, detaching from the worldly is a challenge for us every day. Liam, what are your thoughts?
You know, I agree 100%, you know, especially since we live in a world of such, you know, materialistic things. You know, for me, I think everyone else my age or close to me can also agree, you know, even just your cell phone, just kind of have that on you, you know, all day long. It's so hard to just stay off of it, you know what I mean, and not get distracted. You know, it could go for everything as well. You know, money, everything is virtual nowadays. So you're easy, you can, it's so easy to, you know, have access to so many things across the internet, across the world, and people. And I think it's just so easy nowadays, especially with technology, to just get distracted in our modern world. And I think it's really important to just take a step back sometimes and ask for detachment from God.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, when I know I'm most anxious, when I'm most anxious and my stress level's up, a lot of times it's because I'm paying attention to things that don't really matter. You know, whether that's the stock market, whether that's my phone, whether that's my email or my voicemail or just the ability to just access information anytime we want. You know, and I think, Dylan, I think a lot of times we get acknowledged and rewarded for being able to multitask, right? You know, it's like, hey, man, I'm at a meeting, you know, I'm at a staff meeting and I can respond to this email real quick, or I can, you know, I'll be with my family at the kitchen table and I'll be able to give myself reminders. And, you know, and it's, I mean, I think that's become a curse for us in our ability to kind of, you know, when we multitask, it's really almost impossible for us to slow our brain down. And a lot of times be present with the people you're with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think at the end of the day, everybody's kind of wired for, you know, putting all their attention on one thing at a time. And I think, too, with detachment, as a young man fortunate enough to, you know, be a student athlete, you can kind of get lost in the idea a lot of the time that, you know, detachment doesn't always have to be, you know, being overly attached with, like, bad things. I think it's very easy to kind of lose your focus in things that you may believe or may be telling yourself are good things, whether that be your goals, your ambitions, and things like that. You know, like, it being able to detach doesn't have to be always from, you know, a cell phone or bad habits or, you know, materialistic goods. It could also kind of be putting your own life into perspective and the things that you're after into perspective, whether they may be, you know, positive things. You may think in your heart that you're kind of after and you're chasing beneficial things that are going to bring you genuine happiness and, you know, something that you may be working for a long time. You know, for me and Liam, like, that could be football and things like that. It's very easy to kind of put your goals above your focus with God. But at the end of the day, you just kind of have to take a step back and realize that all this stuff is just temporary.
Amen. Well said. I think, you know, it's funny. This is an aside, but I think about this often. I always, you know, having coached college football for almost 30 years, I never was able to reconcile God's place in the locker room or on the field in this sense. You know, I really believe at the end of the day, God doesn't care if you win or you lose. Hmm. You know, and yet we ask, you know, a lot of times when you're involved in a team prayer, I was always conflicted for two reasons. Number one, the need to be public with that. I always thought that that was a false sense of humility, because I feel like if I'm paying homage to God before a game in a public venue, and then I go out and don't pay him homage by the way I play, in the form of being overzealous or over competitive or doing or saying something that wasn't necessarily Christian, like, I was setting myself up for significant judgment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
And then the other thing too, I mean, I think, you know, probably toward the latter part of my career, you know, praying to be at your best regardless of the situation, praying for you to use your God-given talent to, you know, to pay homage to God, because he does, whether it's music or sport or whatever talent he's awarded you, we all believe that maximizing those talents is the ultimate way to pay homage to him. But I always kind of felt like praying for victory or doing prayer in a very public way, like having the team gather in an end zone, you know, for an Our Father. I just felt like, I don't know, it was just a false sense of humility. And then I always laugh. I shouldn't say laugh, but I always find it amusing after a game, Liam, when it's never the loser that's saying, "Hey, I want to thank the Lord, you know, for this opportunity." It's, you know, it's always the winner of the Super Bowl or the guy who hits the winning, you know, the winning shot at the buzzer, or, you know, the pitcher who strikes out the side in the ninth. It's in the championship game. It's, you know, it's always the winner that's saying, you know, God is great, you know, is, but you rarely hear the loser say that. You know, is God no longer great because you just lost a big game, mm-hmm. or you lost the championship? At any rate, I just feel like, you know, there's certainly a place for God in the athletic arena, but I think we got to be careful with how we're, what we're petitioning from Him, and what we're, you know, what our expectation is from an intervention standpoint.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys are on college, you know, you're on a college campus, and a lot of themes run consistent from one campus to the other. And you don't see, you know, you don't see a lot of faith-based activity, you know, on a college campus, partly because it's from 18 to 22. You know, a lot of kids, your mortality's not staring you in the face. Not that young people don't die, but you know, death and tragedy seem, you know, you're in that bubble and you don't feel like it's going to touch you. But how are you able to dial into your faith, Liam, on a college campus where it's not necessarily visible at every turn?
For me, I really just try to. Just when I have free time, you know, I kind of just keep a prayer routine. I think that's something that really helps me stay in the loop with God, I think. Just kind of my own personal relationship with God. It doesn't necessarily have to be like going out and doing campus ministries or anything like that. I think the most important thing is really just having your own personal relationship with God to kind of ignore all the, you know, the immoral, you know, obvious things that are occurring on all college campuses across the world and in America. Yeah, so at the end of the day, I think it's just, you know, maintaining your own personal relationship with God, really.
Awesome. What about you, Dylan?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Liam. I think a solid prayer routine is definitely important. I also think a lot of it kind of goes beyond the scripture. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, contact and ministry and things like that. And, you know, I think a lot of the times on a college campus, a lot of people are coming from tons of different backgrounds, different places, financial situations, demographics, everything like that. And I think just kind of remembering that the way you act in the example that you set is it's an act of evangelization in itself.
Absolutely.
I think that, you know, I remember you saying it's like you could be the only Bible that somebody sees, and just kind of remembering that and carrying that with you in terms of, you know, how you treat people, how you approach people, your willingness to listen and be there for others. I think that definitely goes hand in hand just kind of on a daily basis. You know, one of your friends or even a stranger, you know, you could see them kind of having a bad day or something like that. And, you know, even just kind of going over and talking to them, asking if they're okay. And just, you know, even just talking about the Word of God a little bit can go a long way.
That's a great answer and a great philosophy. You guys went to LaSalle High School, obviously, you know, great experience for you with that. And not to say that, like, that was, you know, I feel like Mom and I tried our best to bring you, our kids, up in a Catholic foundation and, you know, put Christ at the center of everything in our family. But pretty amazing experience there in terms of, you know, them, you know, certainly modeling what Catholic manhood looks like, what discipleship looks like, and not to say that anybody, it's not a race, you're not keeping score, but I just feel, Mom and I feel blessed that you got to experience that at LaSalle, You know, do you ever wonder what it would have, you know, had we stayed in Rhode Island, you probably would have went to North Kingstown High School, you know, and I think about that more than athletics and academics. I think about faith formation, because had we stayed in Rhode Island, you know, we were happy in our school district, and North Kingstown was phenomenal school and great district, and you guys were, you know, public school educated in elementary school and middle school. And but I often think about, you know, there, the village is raising the kids, and you have so many extensions of, you know, your fatherhood, you know, with so many men there that are, you were able to kind of tap into and you know, seek counsel with, follow example of. You know, do you ever think about what your life might have been like had you gone to a public school, Liam?
No, not really. I think about what it might have been like if I didn't go to LaSalle, just because I think that place has had such a profound impact.
That's probably a better way of saying it. I don't mean necessarily public school. I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, so many, you know, and I look at a lot of times in Catholic school, you look at the theology teachers, you know, and there's, you know, I would say at LaSalle, in my experience, like at LC or another Catholic high school, most of what you're getting from a faith formation standpoint is out of either campus ministry or the theology school or the theology department. But I feel like at LaSalle, it was really kind of every department was touching on, you know, discipleship, masculinity, authentic Catholic masculinity. What are your thoughts, Dylan?
Yeah, I think one of the coolest aspects for me personally was just, you know, like the all-male environment. And I think that's huge in terms of bringing out the best in young men and kind of grooming them into, you know, Catholic gentlemen. And, you know, I think a lot of the times that 14 to 18-year-old age range, you know, at other schools is kind of where, you know, you have, quote unquote, your jocks and your other cliques and things like that, and people constantly trying to
put you in a box.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with that kind of goes this this idea that you're trying to, you know, fit in with other people and maybe impress a certain group of people and things like that. And you know, at LaSalle, we were kind of blessed enough to not even us, but just everybody that goes through that place kind of really knows and can attest to the fact that no matter what your interests are, no matter what your hobbies are, you know, kind of just being surrounded by your brothers and, you know, caring faculty, everybody kind of just wants you to be the best version of yourself and, you know, kind of express your interests, your passions, you know, like authentically. And I think that's huge because, you know, it's not like some of these other schools where you got to kind of go and, you know, put on a mask, so to speak. To just try to fit in and anything like that. I think at LaSalle, they do a great job of just kind of bringing out the authentic version of you and, you know, expressing that it's okay, you know, as a man to, you know, to be malleable. And I think, you know, that's kind of something that in our world today isn't really expressed a lot of the times.
Because everyone wants to put you in a box.
Exactly. So, you know, they'll kind of break you down and build you back up, and I think that's super rare.
I agree with that. Another thing that LaSalle, I think, does a really awesome job. I think personally, you know, helping others.
Thinking, you know, outside yourself.
Yeah, is extremely, you know, no greater love than laying down your life for another, as Christ did, right?
Yep.
And that's about as masculine as it gets, but even not to that extent, but just kind of the works and service opportunities that LaSalle provides. Gives you a great opportunity to extend your vision and learn from a different perspective. You know, urban immersion. That was, I think, sophomore year. That was an amazing experience helping out people in the inner city. You know, they have multiple out-of-country service opportunities to help those in need. So I think, you know, it teaches, you know, growing. It teaches masculinity not only by, you know, growing your faith and relationship with Christ and being a true man of Christ, but also, you know, helping others and putting others before yourself at the same time.
Absolutely. And that was really, I mean, that was of all the phenomenal legacies of Christ, that was his legacy, protector. Provider,
which is exactly defender. What a great father figure is,
no doubt, you know? Definitely.
And I think too, none of it at LaSalle is mandatory, which I don't really think a lot of, you know, people who don't go there kind of understand. You look at a lot of other Catholic high schools in the area, and, you know, most of their seniors are kind of required to meet a certain amount of community service hours and things like that. And I think it's awesome that at a place like LaSalle, where all your service is completely optional, for them to have the amount of kids participate in service opportunities as they do is just kind of a testament to, you know, the work that they're doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. I know at PJP, I feel sometimes, you know, not only was it hard, is it hard for me to reconcile holding the gun to somebody's head and saying, you gotta volunteer at a soup kitchen, or you gotta get your whatever it is, your requirement fulfilled before graduation. But then also the acknowledgement of it, right? It's everything's a photo op. Everything's a chance to gain, you know, orchestrate publicity. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think that's, you know, necessarily, you know, what Christ had in mind when he was saying us, when Christ was challenging us to be other-centered and not self-centered. Liam, you bring up a great point. And I say it almost weekly, if not weekly, then certainly a couple times a month on this show, the connection with sports and spirituality. You know, it's amazing, you know, there's so many traits and characteristics that you can apply to both, you know, developing your spiritual life and your athletic life. It's routine, right? Every athlete loves routine. You know, if you can get into a prayer routine, if you can get into a worship routine where you're either going to, you know, to mass, and particularly for Catholics, because I think I've always been disenchanted when people say, "Well, I can pray in my bed." You know, well, that's not, you know, there's the public acknowledgement of, man, I'm, you know what, I'm actually going to go and publicly praise God and thank Him for, you know, all of it. And then for Catholics, it's, you know, engaging in the sacramental mass where we see the transubstantiation of the body and blood, the bread and wine becoming the body and blood of Christ. Like, that's a miracle that happens every day in every country, you know, throughout the entire world. So, but, you know, talk about, you know, the connection with, you know, and then the other thing about athletics, and I equate it to my prayer life too. Like, there's some days you're working out, training, and you feel like you got a bear on your back and you can't run, you know, you're in quicksand. And then there's other days you feel like you can sit all night and you're running so fast. And it's the same thing with your prayer life. There's days where you feel like, you know, God is like, you're right at the foot of the cross, and you can feel Him present with you in your coffee in the morning, through, you know, your workout in the afternoon, and into your studying at night, and the ebb and flow with that relationship. You know what I mean? And it's like that with sport too. Like, some days, you know, some days you get your butt kicked. Some days, you know, you kick butt. Some days your best is off the charts, and other days your best is pretty average, you know. And I always felt that and that's why I think St. Pope John Paul II felt that the platform that sport had to bring other people to Christ was unlike anything else. What are your thoughts?
I agree 100%. You know, I think there are so many correlations between sports and spiritual life. You know, I think you listed a lot of them. You know, even just like, you know, like you said, persistence, I think, is a huge one. The willingness to get up every day and do God's will, it should be the same as your willingness to get up and get better on the field or in the rink or on the court or something along those lines. So, yeah, I definitely agree. I think there's a substantial amount of correlation. But at the same time, you know, it is hard.
Definitely.
Like you said, praying, it is hard, you know, pray before a game and ask God and then act as if He wants you to act on the field. You know, with people getting
no
your
doubt.
It's a lot deeper than it may seem.
Absolutely.
And I think it obviously takes practice.
And throwing on that, I don't mean you're up, but like, then I think people miss the boat when they say, oh, sports brings out the best of people. It can bring out the worst.
Oh, no doubt. I say more times than not.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Your competitiveness and your humanity takes over, and and you find yourself doing and saying stuff. You're like, oh, man, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Dylan?
Yeah, this makes me think of a quote I heard a little while back. It talks about how, you know, life isn't all about football, but football is all about life. And I think with that kind of, you know, with what we've been talking about and everything, the idea that discipline and motivation are two completely different things. And both, I mean, this principle can be applied, you know, athletically and spiritually. I think it's easy when everybody's kind of around you hooting and hollering, you know, in terms of like that motivation. I think that's kind of motivation, you know, when you get that little spark where you're kind of set on fire, you know, and everything's going great, whether you're winning or whether you feel really close to God, you know, that's kind of motivation. And I think that's easy, you know, I think, but it's also kind of fleeting. You know, discipline, I think, it's kind of deeper than that, in that when you're disciplined, it's like you said, you're doing it to the best of your ability, even on the days where you don't want to, or whether your head or your heart's not really fully into it. You know, discipline kind of carries you through those ebbs and flows way more than motivation does. Yes.
I do think in a crazy sort of way, I think God knows that, you know I mean? And it took me a long time to reconcile this, but like, there's times when I would come out of Mass and I'd be like, wow, that was a colossal waste of time, because I don't think I got anything out of that. I was distracted.
You definitely did. Going off what Dylan said, I think that's actually a really good talking point. Jocko said this, you know, discipline equals freedom. Mm-hmm. Motivation's only going to get you so far, dude. Like, you're not...
From the locker room to the sideline.
In life.
Dude. Yeah,
like,
no doubt.
You know, like, you can be... You're not going to be motivated every day to get up and hit the weight room or pray at 6 a.m., you know what I mean? But, you know, it's the discipline that's going to take you farther than you've ever thought. Because, you know, obviously, some days you're going to feel like, you know, crap under the barbell. You know, some days you're going to feel like God's not listening, but... Anything is better than nothing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So at the end, and yeah, stay in the course, right?
Yeah,
stay
absolutely.
In the course. Like, and I think, and we'll get into normalizing, like, you know, sin and some, you know, ill behavior. But it's the same thing. Like, you tend to think, you know, we need. It's perform and reward, and sometimes it's not. There's delayed gratification. Sometimes you're planting seeds that aren't going to be grown for weeks, months, years in the future, but you're still planning, mm-hmm. you know. And I love the analogy with sports and the bamboo. You know, when you water the bamboo, it doesn't grow for like 18 months or something, and then, you know, but you keep watering it, but then once it does grow, it's exponential. It's like 18 inches of, you know, 15 inches a day or something.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a little bit like that with the faith life too. And you know, just stay in the course and you know, I no longer feel, I would love to be dialed in every Mass I go to or every rosary I say, but, you know, I don't know if that's realistic, but it certainly doesn't stop you from, the ebb of the relationship doesn't stop you from staying committed and staying the course, and that's certainly a great point. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking about detachment, and we're going to roll right into social acceptance of sin and normalizing behaviors that aren't Christ-like. So we'll be back after these messages. Souls on Fire, Liam and Dylan Traynor.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906. or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Here with Dylan Trainer and Liam Trainer, student athletes at the University of Delaware, and proud disciples of Christ. And I take, for any talent that they might have, I take great comfort in knowing that they're on a journey, certainly not without its detours, but always finding their way back to the road to Emmaus, and emphasizing the importance of the relationship that they have with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Guys, my daughter, left for Kairos today. You guys are products of Kairos. You both had the privilege of going once as a participating student, and then a second time as a group leader. What's she in store for, Dylan?
A lot. No, she's going to love it. I think it's going to be very transformational for her. But I think, one of the biggest themes on our Kairos was kind of the idea of when you're looking for God, don't look up, look around. And I think a lot of the times in the world today, even especially people that are kind of trying to, disprove, I guess, the existence of God, you'll often hear, okay, then where is he? As if people are kind of expecting him to, part the clouds and come down with lightning bolts and things like that. But, as Catholics, we know that God's working all around us every day, and it doesn't have to be, that the mystical, again, parting of the clouds and this, and the horns and the parades and things like that. I think a lot of the time we can get lost in that and lose sight of the fact that, God's all around us every single day. And if you're looking in the right spots, then you'll see he's a lot closer than you may think, whether that be, in your relationships, everything like that. And it's just kind of noticing the little things and the little blessings that God places in your life every single day, and kind of, really just picking up your cross and, knowing that you're not going through it alone ever. There's a lot more people out there that may be going through what you may be going through that you have no idea of, and the community behind suffering, which I think is lost a lot of the time, especially in young males and young adults. It's this notion that whenever you're kind of going through something that nobody knows what you're going through, when in reality there are so many people around you, some of them maybe really close to you, that know exactly what you're going through.
Definitely, well said. I'm thinking, I had a girl on here. I call her a girl. She was a grown lady, adult. She was a teacher at Little Flower, and really started to reflect on God's public life. Excuse me, Jesus's public life. Like, he taught you how to do everything. You know what I mean? The agony in the garden, right? He taught you how to suffer with dignity, and offer it up to Christ. He taught you how to handle enduring crazy physical pain. He taught us not just the good stuff. Hey, do this, that, and the other, and heaven awaits you. Like, he taught us how to do all of it. And and it's kind of a misnomer that, he doesn't promise happiness, he promises peace.
Absolutely.
And there's a major distinction between happiness and peace. Peace, you get the, at least when I think of it, it's more long term. It's less fleeting. Happiness is,
more temporary.
Yeah, happiness is much more temporary. Peace is more, lasting, and you can be peaceful amidst, adversity too. Liam, when you think back to Kairos, what are some of the things you pulled from it?
Aside from what Dylan was talking about, I think humility was probably one of my biggest things. Again, Dylan touched on what you learn about others and just how good you realize you have it. Whether that's traumatic experiences of people in the past or mental issues people are dealing with, it's really humbling to see and listen to people, what they have to say, but also kind of just like humility in the sense, like, as in, you know, where was Jesus the past 16 years? Like, what was I doing with my life? You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, I feel like when I went on Kairos, without giving away too much, because it is a lot of secrets on it, I grew a relationship with God that I hadn't felt in 17 years, you know, prior to going on the retreat. And I think that was such a powerful experience. And it humbled me in the sense that, you know, where was this my entire life? You know, what I was missing out on so much. You know, my life really hasn't been the same ever since.
And I would agree with that statement too, the end of that statement. I think both of you, you know, I would hear, the Kai High, right? You know, like, wait, you know, they'll go back to their old ways. I can honestly say, I think all these years later, I think that was a transformative experience for both of you.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm praying. I know Kira was nervous, and sometimes with her, it's hard to distinguish, you know, legitimate nerves from make believe. But I too think she's going to have an amazing experience. You know, not just on a college campus, but really kind of, you know, in society. You know, we see like normalization of so many behaviors that were once called into question. Orientation or any of the things we can get caught up with sin, you know, it's disheartening to me, because when I sin, I don't want somebody to lower the bar on me.
Absolutely.
You know, I can do that all. I can lower the bar. My tendency is to lower the bar.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the same thing in athletics, right? You're much less likely to cut corners when you're working out with somebody. You know, like, because human nature, you know, you have to be uber disciplined to not want to cut corners or, I think I'm maxed out here. I gotta pull back. But if someone's with you, you know, and they keep the bar and the standards the standard, you're less likely to fall victim to your own weakness, so to speak. You know, and I just feel like whether, you know, sex, alcohol, addiction, orientation, I think we're a society that wants to, you know, by normalizing sin, we're saying we're condoning it. And I would hope that the people that matter the most to me are going to love me unconditionally, but they're also going to say, listen, that's not appropriate. That's not right. You got to, you know, I expect you to do more as a husband and a father. And I'm sure for you guys, Dylan, on a college campus, you know, you can see that everywhere you turn.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it kind of falls under the umbrella of really just like distractions too. And I think, you know, the idea of pleasure, you know, we've used the word fleeting a lot today, and I think, you know, pleasure is no different. I think on a college campus, you know, kids kind of go in with the mindset of, oh, I went through a grind this week. This weekend I'm going to kind of
abuse myself.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the times, you know, people get lost in the fact that, you know, the distractions that they think that they're balancing their lifestyle with, they think that they're good. And, you know, like, you know, you hear it all the time. It's like, oh, like, you need balance if you want to be successful. You don't want to overwork yourself. But I think a lot of the times, like you said, we've normalized these distractions, and, you know, we've accepted them as kind of just like a way to ease and kind of just relax. But I think a lot of the time, it's a lot deeper than that. It reminds me of something powerful I heard a couple months ago that I've really tried to carry through my college experience, and it's the idea that you should spend your time building the life you want, not escaping the life that you have. And I think in terms of a college campus, you know, whenever that's something I find myself kind of repeating in my head whenever I, you know, whether it be contemplating, you know, getting into something on a college campus that, you know, you may regret later, that may be toxic to not only your body but your soul. I think kind of just remembering that there's a difference between being able to change your life and, you know, close wounds that you may be just trying to distract yourself from, in that, you know, temporary pleasures and temporary sins and things like that aren't worth, you know, your overall peace. Because, you know, I know, amen, we talked about peace and happiness and how they're totally different. I think it's finding happiness on a college campus nowadays is not hard. You just have to go around the corner. But, you know, in order to, you know, find genuine peace, you're going to have to eliminate a lot of those distractions and just kind of remember what you were called to do.
It's the truth. And don't, you know, don't think for a second that college campus is cornered the market on that, because it's, you know, it's everywhere. It's
absolutely
in corporate America. It's in education. I mean, you know, pornography, you know, oh, it's okay. Everyone's doing it, you know, and you know, infidelity. Oh, you know, I'm away, you know, my wife's not going to find out. Like, it's normalized for all of us. And I think, to me, and look at where we are compared to even as recently as 5 years ago or 10 years ago, like, you have to stay vigilant, because if you don't, we'll be able to justify all of those sins and shortcomings in our own life.
Sure.
Oh, it was just one time, or I didn't, you know, I didn't, you know, it doesn't make me a bad person. How often?
Again, I think that's exactly how, you know, Satan works.
Absolutely.
It starts as a little whisper, and then it's like, yeah, a snowball effect. You know what I mean? I think all that, especially on a college campus, you know, as you said, in corporate America, education, all that, I think that's just merely a byproduct of the absence of God. You know what I mean?
100%.
As soon as you take God out of your life, then there's more room for, you know, evil and Satan to start whispering,
dude,
in your ear. And
it's going to be filled up with something.
Exactly.
Your heart, your soul, yeah, it's always full. And it's just a matter of what are you feeding it? Mm-hmm. Because you're either feeding it, you know, the healthy stuff for your spirit and your mind and your soul, or you're feeding it the unhealthy stuff. But it's never going without, you know, and nor is your mind, you know, your heart, your mind, your soul, it's definitely being filled up with something. And, you know, I think the challenge for all of us, and just being vigilant, you know, and saying, hey, dude, you know, I know sometimes when, you know, when you walk into a room or you're at a bar, I remember being, you know, a coach's convention, you know, and you'd see guys doing stuff that they shouldn't have been doing. You're like, but it was a lot of them. And you're like, dude, like, maybe it's not, you know,
like more people do it than the more,
yeah,
okay it is.
Strength, right? There's strength in numbers. That's what we kind of think. And it also, too, it's sometimes like crabs in a bucket, you know. And, you know, I think, too, for me, you know, we overuse the term cancel culture. You know, and I always say nobody judges like the Irish Catholics, right? We're the first to point out the weaknesses in everyone else. And also, too, is as we get more polarized and in the areas of, you know, religion, politics, ideology, whatever, you know, we cancel people in an attempt to justify our vantage points, mm-hmm, even if they are from God and from the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said last week, I saw a great sign outside one of the Methodist churches by our house. It's like, you know, your job is to love everyone. Let me figure out the rest.
Mm.
You know, and sometimes for me, you know, we tend to be like, oh, that's wrong. And then we forget, like, that, yeah, we have doctrine, we have dogma, we have commandments, we have the Bible that we lean on for these truths that we try and live by. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not our time to judge, because if we're judging, then, you know, I mean, we're in harm's way of being judged ourselves. And God knows, you know, we're all capable of hopefully it's the merciful God, not the just God, that is waking up on that side of the bed when I come to the pearly gates. I'm going to read Matthew 7 verses 3-5. And it always crushes me when I hear it, because I always seem to hear it at a time where I'm on my highest horse and I'm critical of everyone around me, except myself, because I don't have any mirrors in my house, so I don't have to worry about looking myself in the mirror. But it's Matthew 7, verses 3-5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly, more clearly, to remove the speck in your brother's eye. You know, and I think that's a hard, I feel like that's becoming harder and harder as we've become more polarized. And I know for me personally, it's hard for me to walk, you know, separating the act from the person, you know, because we want to, you know, hopefully I'm being judged by the person that I am, not necessarily by, to some extent, I'm talking out both sides because we are what we do. I get that. Mm-hmm. But also too, I hope, you know, when it comes down to it, that, you know, if I'm practicing what I preach and I expect to be shown the mercy that I need for me to gain salvation, that I'm showing that same type of mercy to my brothers and sisters. You know, but it just seems, man, it just seems in today's cancel culture, it's we want to just, if you don't agree with me or my doctrine or my dogma or my stance, my politics, I'm gonna cancel. Yeah, but it's just, mm-hmm. it's not, I don't think God was not meant to have us be judged, jury, and executioner. What are your thoughts, Dylan?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's also difficult just in, you know, the nature that the world is going. It's so easy to kind of fall into that judgment trap. And, you know, to the point where we're almost kind of persecuting people around us because, you know, with the way of the world nowadays, it's so easy to kind of look around other people and just, like, kind of go, how do you even think like that? And, you know, like, you got to kind of harness, you know, your thoughts because, like you said, like, we have to realize that it's not our position to judge. And, you know, we could try to correct those around us using Jesus' teaching and kind of using that as the centerpiece for how we should instruct others around us when we see that they may be acting in a way that doesn't reflect God's love. But I think it's so easy with kind of how ridiculous a lot of the things are nowadays to jump from 0 to 60. And I think, you know, a lot of the times we kind of miss the instructional, compassionate piece that really transforms people. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you're disagreeing with somebody or somebody's teachings, again, going from 0 to 60 isn't going to do you any good. That's just going to kind of infuriate the other person even more. And at the end of the day, it's just going to kind of back up their point saying, this is exactly why I disagree with you. But I think as Catholics, we have an obligation to not necessarily judge at all, but definitely try to correct people. And I think that, you know, showing them the truth and the love of God is extremely important, but we have to do it in a way that touches their hearts more than it does their minds.
Yeah, showing empathy, too. Exactly. At least understand where they're,
yes, definitely,
where they're at.
No, I definitely agree with that. You know, I think it's something I struggle with, you know, judgment. I think you're lying to yourself if you're saying you don't struggle with it as well.
No doubt.
At some point in your life. You know, especially, you know, with Dylan, like Dylan said, what's going on in the world, especially America today. You know, I could see, you know, how, you know, someone's sexual orientation or what they're wearing, and I'm like, how could you do that? You know what I mean? But then who's to say, like, I'm looking right over, you know, my own vanity and pride and greed.
No.
You know, who's to say that doesn't, you know, disappoint God?
It's sin nonetheless, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a difference between, you know, judgment and recognizing evil. You know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt.
You know,
definitely.
I think you know, it is not judging is very important, but I think it's also very easy to see when there, you know, there's just straight up evil, you know, pro a lot of pro life activists and something along those lines, you know, attacking you know pro life people and something along those. There's just so much going on across the country, you know, people actually, you know, speaking out against God rather than just kind of keeping to themselves their own beliefs. I think, you know, I don't think it requires judgment, but I think other people require a certain confrontation and direction.
Yeah, it's strength. Exactly. It's fortitude. It, to stand up and say, listen, I love you, but I don't necessarily agree with that's not what God intended.
It's not okay.
No, definitely. I'm thinking about authentic masculinity and you know, we're all part of an old school men of faith group, you know, on Saturdays at the Shrine, and just what a blessing that is for all of us. You know, and then the other thing I think too, and this is a little bit like, you know, we were talking on the way down, right? We all wrestle with things that we don't necessarily understand. You know, I was talking about the gift of tongues, and that's something that I personally have had a hard time in my faith journey. We're talking about predestination and a lot of things that, like, you know, in my 54 years of Catholic discipleship, you know, there's a lot of things that still remain a mystery to me, and I don't necessarily comprehend. And hopefully, you know, when I pray, I, you know, God grants me the wisdom to give me insight into some of those areas. But and that one of the things I love about the group on Saturday, you know, it's probably, I think it's close to 60 members, but you know, when on a given Saturday it might be 25 to 30 guys there, and every week is something new, you know, and a lot of times it's people will talk about things that they wrestle with and do some research on it. But the one thing I love about it more than anything is it's, I think we're all bearing witness to what authentic Catholic masculinity looks like there, you know, at that group. You know, what are your thoughts, Dylan? Liam, you went last week as the only trainer there. Dylan and I went there this week. What are some of your thoughts, Liam? I'll start with you about old school men of faith.
I think it's awesome, to say the least. I think, again, Dylan touched on this earlier, just being somewhat vulnerable. And I think for me, when I go there, identifying my own sin, again, I think that's a big humility aspect too.
No doubt.
Because, you know, we all come together and we have different topics we talk about every week and whatnot. But it really is a time for me to call on my own sin and see and recognize, you know, I'm no better than anyone here. You know what I mean? And I think at the end of the day, that's the most important thing for me.
That's awesome. Dylan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, kind of like Liam said, like, I love it. It's definitely the highlight of my week when I'm able to go. And I really love the fact that, you know, there's no mask. Everybody there is just genuinely who they are. Everybody's kind of able to express themselves and, you know, what they may be going through. And there's just a genuine sense of community there. And it's just kind of a bunch of dudes that, you know, through you, we've been kind of fortunate enough to be able to know and form relationships with. And I think, I mean, you hear the line too. It's like the church isn't a museum for good people. It's a hospital for the broken. And I think that, you know, the men's group is just living proof of that. Everybody kind of can bring their own baggage and kind of put it at the foot of the cross, and they know that everybody around them is there to support them and help guide them through. And, you know, I think a lot of the time, too, there's a certain guilt that could come with questioning your faith.
No doubt.
And I think...
But that's part of the... I think that I spent probably 40 years, like, embarrassed about that. You know, when I'm like, oh, dude, that's part of the journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doubt is part of the journey, you know, and again, just like fatigue is, mental fatigue or physical fatigue, like, you know, that's part of your fitness journey. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be able to bench press 420 pounds every day. Like, some days it's going to be like, oh my God, I can barely bench, you know, half of that. And then there's other days where you feel like you can do the whole thing. But like doubt is part of the process. And I think, you know, I think we get nervous and scared when we feel like we don't have all the answers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I think it's inevitable. You're a human being. You have your own thought, you have your own conscience, you know, God bless us with our own free will to make our own decisions. I think, you know, it's inevitable. You're going to hit a rough patch multiple times throughout your life. Tying with the men of faith. One thing that I also forgot to talk about, I love the personal testimonies of people experiencing miracles and their own, you know, relationships and encounters with God. It's crazy to me. I think it really helps strengthen my faith. And, you know, also I think it's very educational.
Definitely.
Especially for Dylan and I. You know, we're younger guys. We went to public grade school. We didn't learn really a lot of the pins and needles of, you know, the Catholicism and our faith, but I think it's really, I learn something new every time I go there.
Absolutely.
So I think that's awesome too.
And the thing I love about, like, we talk about Ernie, right? You know, the old, the, you know, the old, one of the original Navy SEALs, and then you have Pete, who's kind of like, you know, 5'4", 150 pounds, and he's a special forces guy, and then you have blue collar guy. It is such a melting pot, mm-hmm. you know, of, you know, and truly to your point, Dylan, it really is a hospital for the broken, but there's people there that are searching for healing.
Absolutely.
And because it's the humility that they're coming with, like, hey, I don't have all the answers, and I am broken. And I'm trying to be a good husband and a good father and a good brother and a good friend and a good disciple, but I can't do it on my own. But I mean, some of the testimonies, to your point, like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, you know, wow. And then I think, to me, I often talk about, you talked about the perspective you got from Kairos, right? You know, nothing resets me in my faith more than gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really believe, like, you know, like, you know, the link with depression and the, you know, the numbers are through the roof, you know, kids that are medicated. But I really believe, like, I'm at my worst and my most anxious when I'm not aware of the blessings I have.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. I mean, all of them. Like, just, you know, just waking up this morning and, you know, money in the bank, roof over your head, cars at work, like, healthy children, you know, faithful wife. And I feel like, I think gratitude, you know, if you can acknowledge, you know, I always tell young people, if they're depressed, start a gratitude journal. And then every day write down three things you're grateful for and don't repeat them, and see how many days you can go in a row without repeating them. And then having, you know, finding, you know, God in the details, right? Mm-hmm. A second pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
You know, a second pair of dress shoes. Opening a fridge and finding, like, you know, a ton of extra food. Like, it's such a great reset for me. And then, you know, the devil working, you know, comparison is the thief of happiness. You know, when we compare ourselves to other people, you know, I'm not talking someone that you're aspiring to be like when you watch film of a player that you're saying, hey, this is, I want to make myself in this mold. I'm talking about comparing, you know, yourself to somebody who may have us, when we compare ourselves to somebody that, you know, we think has it licked, or we want what they have. And, cause you know what, you don't know anyone's story until you know their story.
No doubt.
You know, and we're all of us, you, me, and everyone that's on social media. It's not Facebook, it's Fakebook. It's all, we're only ever publicizing
the good
our accomplishments. Nobody's ever saying, hey, just had a blowout fight with my wife. I hope my marriage can sustain this, you know, but it's, the reality is, it's God doesn't promise a smooth journey. He just says, you know, I'm never gonna abandon you, and you know, as long as we keep coming back and keep, you know, we get detoured every day, but just keep, you know, stay the course and keep fighting the fight, and great things will happen. Fellas, I love you guys. Thanks for being here.
Love
great
you
show.
Love you, Joe. Appreciate it.
And best of luck this year. Delaware football, they open up down at the United States Naval Academy on Saturday, September 3rd. So it's going to be a great season. Looking forward to it. Not going to miss a game. All right, folks. Have a great week. Love you. God bless. Take care.